Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by investor, speaker, and award-winning author, Natalie Torres Haddad. Natalie will share the tips and tricks of money management, as well as the story of self-made millionaires who have attained financial freedom.
Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. This is a special podcast. It's as I'm on the road, so forgive me if it sounds horrible as far as the sound audio, and I'm sure my sound engineer and producer is probably cringing that I'm doing this in the car, but that's how it is when you're traveling and working at the same time. It occurred to me to do this podcast while I'm driving because I have about another hour left. I've been driving for almost 3 hours. I've been driving in the state of Iowa the last few days, as I've been traveling and working in the Midwest in the states of Illinois, Iowa, and Missouri. That's how they say it, Missouri. Teaching financial literacy workshops, two high schools, a couple organizations, a company, and of course the famous TED Talk, which you can definitely check out as well. But I actually wanted to do a special Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes without an interview, and really about celebrating Women's History Month. March is the month of Women's History Month, and March 8th was International Women's Day. And during this time, I was working a lot, so I didn't get a chance to really give homage or really thank the women in my life that have helped me to be the person who I am and are continuously supporting me in all my efforts. But I thought it'd be an important podcast to talk about five issues, or really five helpful habits for women. As I've been traveling, I've been coming across a lot of states. A lot of women have been telling me that they want to learn more about their finances. And after my TED Talk, someone came up to me after and said, a lot of them actually, but this one was particularly stuck out to me because she said, "You made me cry about financial literacy," telling her my story, which you can check that out separately on a TED Talk Davenport. But more than a handful of women said they felt that they weren't good enough, but they felt that no one really explained to them what financial literacy was to them before. And the fact that I tied it in with, it's like knowing a foreign language, they felt less ashamed. They felt more empowered to want to learn more about their finances, to learn more about how to manage their money, to learn more about really what financial literacy is. So this special podcast, under 20 minutes, I'm going to give you five tips that I went over to help others to really just take the time to learn more about why financial literacy is so important in our society and why we need to advocate for it, why we need to implement it in our schools as young as grade school, all the way through college, and really an ongoing process. I suffered with a lot of depression at one point because I felt like I was drowning in student debt. I had a lot of graduate debt, student debt as well, undergrad. I found myself in credit card debt because I was targeted with credit card companies when I was in college. Luckily, now in California, it's against the law for them to be set foot, credit card companies, excuse me, or banks to be set on foot trying to get you to sign up for credit cards. And for those of you who don't know, that was something that was really common. Most of my friends and colleagues that are my age said they remember coming out of class and, you know, 10 feet away from your door as you're exiting your class, there's people trying to give you free t-shirts, free flip-flops to sign up for a credit card. Even one of my friends said, I think he got like a free gym membership just to sign up for a credit card. And these weren't great credit cards. These were credit cards with the worst interest rates. And I remember I had excellent credit score and I still got a credit card that was at 18%. I had no idea what a good credit score or what a good interest rate was. And obviously I was targeted. So luckily that's something that's passed in the last few years in the state of California. I'd have to find out what the rest of this country looks like. But the more we become aware of what we can protect ourselves against, how we can protect our credit score, because I could totally do another podcast on that alone. I wanted to give you five helpful tips. If you feel like you're drowning in debt or feeling overwhelmed, and why you can still move on and still meet your goals and still meet your financial goals as well. And things that have helped me because of my family, my support, my mentors, my friends, really the experience and education I've taken on in financial literacy, I wanted to share with you if you're feeling that overwhelming feeling. So I did discuss this on my TED Talk, which is about 10 minutes, but wanted to just give you those 5 tips because I think it's something that can really help you as it's helped me along the way, and it's helped so many others. And when people come up to me and tell me that, you could tell they've been crying or they got touched and they really said this makes the world of a difference to them, I think it's important to share with others. So the first step is to be aware that you're not alone. Being aware that you're not alone can, one, relieve some, get rid of some of that shame or that guilt if you do have some debt, or if you're feeling lost or just really not feeling a handle on your money. More than half of Americans feel they don't know what financial literacy is, and over 70% of college graduates will say they didn't feel equipped, that they weren't taught what financial literacy was, they weren't taught how to manage their money, let alone deal with their student debt. And over 40% of married couples fight over money. And there's a national average that shows you what the average household carries as far as debt goes, and it shows close to $30,000. So we are definitely a country that knows how to consume, obviously, but has an incredible amount of debt. And we obviously need to start having that conversation about money and finances, let alone just really taking more responsibility and learning financial literacy. So the first step is knowing that you're not alone and that you'll be able to get through this, right? The second step for you to do is to take action now. Obviously, right now you're listening to this podcast, and I say look at financial literacy like it is a foreign language. There is no way you're going to learn a foreign language or this entire, let's say, alphabet in one day. It's not possible. At least you wouldn't learn it properly, right? So you need to take the time to break down each alphabet, meaning you're going to start with one letter, learn how to pronunciate, learn what it means, learn how to implement it in everyday practice. And then you're going to make mistakes, right? Because that's how you learn too. And you repeat the process over and over, because financial literacy is an evolving language. There's new acronyms, there's new math, new formulas that are always coming out. So it's important to stay current and learn as much as possible. So when you take action, let's say 20 minutes a day, that's how I came up with my book. I wanted somebody to walk away with helpful habits right away. Taking action to say, I'm going to incorporate maybe 20 minutes of reading about financial aid, or maybe watching a documentary, which leads me to number 3, incorporate new resources. So when you're incorporating new resources, that means, you know, watch a documentary, watch a movie, watch a show, listen to a podcast, listen to a radio show. Incorporate resources that are going to make you want to learn this. When we were kids, we were listening to music and watching shows about the language. We had to make it fun for ourselves. As adults, we should still be doing that. And I think it's so crucial to do that, because then we're going to want to take the time to learn something new every day, at least for 20 minutes. I even mentioned it in my TED Talk that I love that everyone seems to be singing that hook, because it's a catchy hook, let's be real, by Cardi B, that goes, that part where she's like, nah, I don't dance now, I make money moves. It's catchy, let's just be real with it. But she's talking about financial decisions. She's making money moves. And so if we start incorporate music like that, which gives me another great idea, which I'll talk about later, you need to take the time to do so and make it fun for yourselves. Look at new graphs. Find out what, let's say, an acronym could be that you've never knew. FICO score. A lot of people know what a FICO score. They've heard of it. They don't even know it's an actual acronym for Fair Isaac Corporation. And what does that mean to an individual? Well, chances are if you have a higher higher credit score, you're going to get the best interest rate on a home loan or a car loan. Or chances are you're going to get the job because most employers will run your credit and they'll see if you have a good credit score or not. Nowadays, even just to get an apartment, they will run your credit. So there you go, just a helpful tip right then and there. So incorporate new resources. That can be so helpful. Number 4, This one is to be able to get support. Get support. You don't need to do this alone. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by financial literacy, still reach out to a CPA, an accountant, a bookkeeper, a financial wealth manager, a financial coach. You can even attend conferences, workshops. This will help you in so many ways. One, it'll remind you that other people make mistakes too, and hopefully you'll learn from those mistakes. Another thing can be that they can help you stay accountable and help you reach your goals. Being able to reach your goals, financial goals as well, can make so much, not only a difference for yourself, but for your future, your family as well. I think the hardest part for me is I still hear it too often where women say that they have no idea anything about their finances at home, that their husband or their spouse takes care of all of their finances. And one, I think that's not only dangerous, not to say, oh, because you're going to get divorced. No, what if the worst happens? What if your spouse passes away? Now you're left not knowing what they were taking care of. And if you have children, you're left in more financial ruins. I see that happen too often. And I think that's why I cringe, or it hurts me when I hear that, because I think you're putting a lot of responsibility on your spouse and not understanding the type of stress they might be feeling if you don't know what financial state you're in. So being able to be independent is important, but also be on the same page with your partner. And so especially if you're trying to buy a home, if you have a goal of, you know, starting a business, whatever it is, get the support you need. And trust me, you will be setting a great example for your daughters and the future generations to come. Okay, now, the fifth step is probably one of the most difficult ones that I come across, not just for myself, but many people, is being patient. Being patient with yourself. Why I say it's hard, it's because as we get older, it becomes really difficult to not only make mistakes, but to even admit that you made a mistake, right? As kids, we're constantly told, oh, it's okay if you made a mistake. You're going to fix it. You won't have to worry about it again. And chances are you'll learn from that. Yet, as we get adults, we become more prideful or more embarrassed. And the truth is, maybe we just don't want to fail. But if we understand that it's going to take time, like I said, the language is going to take time to learn it, then we get rid of some of that guilt. And for me, the reason why I'm so passionate is such a cliche, but it's the truth too. But it's why I feel my purpose is to help more women, or just anybody, not just women, but this obviously particular podcast is for women, to be more aware of their financial literacy or just their finances in general. It's because I found myself in the worst case scenario. I like I said, I struggled with debt myself as a student, as a grad student, and as an undergrad as well, and times after that as well. I found myself very depressed and overwhelmed with the feeling of not being able to take care of my financial responsibilities. And at one point too, I was in my fourth year of the nonprofit I had started, and I was heavily funding it myself, and I had just lost my job, and this was right after the market crash, about 2 years. And so, and I had also the responsibility of being a first-time homeowner, so I had this responsibility of not only paying a mortgage, but paying it by myself because I was single at the time. And another responsibility I felt was just, you know, the shame of having so much student debt. And I am a first generation college student and grad student as well, meaning the first in my family. So I felt ashamed or alone, and I didn't know how to even ask my parents for help because I felt like they wouldn't understand. Most of us, and even most students till this day, I you know, when they come in my workshops and they tell me afterwards, they say, you know, I was afraid to talk to my parents about this because, you know, they don't understand the stresses that come with it. And especially if they don't have a job right away. And I totally understand where they're coming from. And a couple times I've heard them say, you know, I've had suicidal thoughts. And I stop them right then and there. Obviously, I say, I know where you're coming from. Because if you think about it, most people don't know this, but bankruptcy will not get rid of your student debt. It will get rid of maybe your business, your home debt, anything like that, as far as you declaring bankruptcy. But student debt is forever. And it even doesn't matter if you declare bankruptcy. So a lot of them have this type of stresses, type of depression that they might be going through. And I think it's a topic worth having more and more as, you know, experts start saying it's no longer necessarily the real estate bubble. It's really education. It's becoming so outrageously expensive that we're having our future, ourselves, start off with so much debt that it's almost making it impossible to have a decent life. So often I hear adults, especially older, and being a millennial, I hear this too often, where people say, oh yeah, I managed to pay down my debt and it was totally easy, or, you know, why is everyone complaining? And I'm like, well, first of all, your student debt was probably not into the six digits. And, you know, especially if you have a grad school debt, that means chances are you might have $80,000 to $100,000 in debt. And for them, sometimes that don't have a college degree too, they'll say, well, I had nothing. I started with zero. And I'm like, you know how many of us would have loved to start life with zero? Meaning when we graduate with no job, we are starting life with so much debt that this debt also comes with interest. So the fact that you can start at zero, you're way ahead of the game than most of us are and were. So I think it's very important and a topic to have. Especially as I see more women pursuing higher education, more women advancing in their careers. That means they invest a lot in themselves. They invest in their companies. They invest in their real estate. They invest in our communities, really. So when we become more financially savvy and becoming more aware of our own finances, we are not only empowering ourselves, but our community. And I share my painful story on my TED Talk, which you can watch. And I've said that more than once, my bad. But I get really raw with it because I explain how my depression was really an understatement back then. But it led to a lot of sleepless nights because of, like I mentioned, everything that happened to me. And that almost, I felt like I was going into this financial ruin because everyone around me at that time too, for those that were there during the market crash or around it, people were losing their homes, people were losing their jobs and everything, and I thought I was going to be next as well, and I did lose my job. And it caused me to fall into such a depression that I ended up going to an acute psychiatric hospital. And for those of you who don't know, that's a mental hospital. And for many years, I couldn't talk about this because I was so ashamed, or I didn't know what my family and friends would think, or I felt there still is such a stigma with mental illness. But a lot of people don't understand that it also has to stem with our relationship to money, the circumstances, the money story we have with ourselves. And for me, waking up in that mental hospital, I remember just feeling so ashamed and sad and hopeless and wondering, how did I get here and what is my family going to think? And I did have that clarity when I saw this whiteboard that had these five steps that would tell me how to get through it. And those are the five steps that I gave you that would help you for your finances. That let me know I was going to be okay. That let me know to, like I said, one, be aware you're not alone. Two, take action. Three, get support. Four, incorporate new resources. And five, be patient. So I share my story to hopefully empower others. And if they're going through something like that, you're not alone. I'm here. There's so many resources out there for you. But I think as a community, as women, we want to nurture everyone. We want to help everyone. But as women, we also have to learn to take care of ourselves in order to be the superwoman we want to be and nurturers that we want to be, and to take care of everyone, we need to take care of ourselves first. Because if you're sick, if you're mentally sick, if you're physically sick, you can't help people if you can't help yourself. And unfortunately, I had to learn the hard way. I had to be mentally healthy and balanced in order to continue to help others. And at that point, I remember I felt like I was giving so much of me, so much of my time and to others, that I forgot about me. And it's so crucial that maybe this month is the time to keep that in mind. Tell someone, tell a woman too, tell anyone, your mom, your friends, your daughters, anyone, to tell them how much you appreciate them for everything that they do. Because it's women that bring so much love into this world. Obviously men do too, and I felt so fortunate. I've always had that healthy role model and male role models. But something about being a woman this month, like, we can really make a world of a difference. And this month is a time to really embrace that, because March will lead right into my favorite month of the year. It's Financial Literacy Month. It's in April. And we'll discuss more topics. But wanted to end with that. And stay tuned for the next Financially Savvy 20 Minutes podcast. I actually have some solo guest hosts. And these interviews will still be with self-made millionaires. And maybe, actually, I'd like your input. I would like your input. If you feel you would still like to hear interviews with maybe people that make six-figure incomes. Maybe they're not millionaires yet. But for some of you, maybe becoming a millionaire doesn't seem a reality. Maybe making a six-figure income seems like your reality or more reachable for you. So I kind of thought maybe going that route too. So send me a message, write reviews, you know, definitely feel free to rate it. And if you want to rate a 5, the more the better, because that means more people can be able to expose to this podcast. So stay tuned for more Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes with Natalie Torres Haddad or other great solo hosts. And once again, thanks for listening and letting me share my story. Bye.